Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13 is where we're at. And we will begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not hear." Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. And Father, we know that outside of this word that you have preserved for us, that you have kept for us, and that you have provided for us, we can do nothing. And Father, as we look through the symbols of this particular chapter in the book of Jeremiah tonight, Father, may we make the proper application to the things that would apply to our lives tonight. Father, may we be good for something rather than good for nothing. And God, may we yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit that we may have his direction and his guidance in our lives, and that you would be honored and glorified by it. We do pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So here we have Jeremiah right here in chapter 13, God beginning to give some instructions here to Jeremiah that maybe in the beginning may seem to be a little odd to some of us. It took me a couple of different reads through to kind of get the idea of what was taking place here. But God tells Jeremiah in verse number 1, he says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." And so Jeremiah says, "I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, Take the girdle which thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of a rock." And so first off, I want to start with the symbolism of the girdle, the symbolism of this girdle that Jeremiah was wearing. Now, one of the things that we must have some understanding of is, one, this is a totally different culture than what we live in today. If we were to say, "Justin, I want you to go put a girdle on," he's saying no. What about you, Brother Terry? You would take her there? Brother Matt, you good? He doesn't want one either. Ben? Shane? Girdle? You'll pass. Braden? Girdle? Are you sure? You don't even know what a girdle is. Sounds too much like a girl, though, doesn't it? Yeah, I thought so. So let's see here. Brother Don Girdle, you wearing one? Good, good. There's a reason we're laughing here. Some of you are still trying to figure out, why is this so funny? If you're under the age of 12 or 15, I don't know. Chloe, do you know what a girdle is? She's afraid to answer. You do. You think so? Oh, see, I knew it. Lauren, you know what a girdle is? No. All right. We'll let your parents explain that later. But in our culture, it is something that a woman would wear under their clothing. And I'm not sure that that happens too much anymore. I have no idea because I don't wear one. In the Old Testament times, a girdle was not worn as an undergarment. It was worn as an outer garment. It was actually more of a sash that went around a waist. It was usually one of the most beautiful figurative modes of expression for clothing. Like for to us today, we might, some of us might have on fancy socks. That would be an expression of our clothing. For men today, we would maybe tie it to a necktie. Some of you like bold and bright neckties, and we have a lot of colors that would be, and we express ourselves through our clothing, don't we? Yes, I mean, we express ourselves by, if you come in and you're in a tuxedo, you're usually going somewhere to somewhat of a formal event. If you come in, with swim trunks on and a tank top and a hat, you're probably either going to a pool party or going to the beach, or you're just really relaxed, right? So we express ourselves by what we wear. This was no different in this, but this girdle was something that would be wound several times around the waist, and it would often bind the clothing together, and therefore getting the sense of that idea of having that girdle, that term being used there. It was in Isaiah 11, verse number 5, where it talked about the Messiah, where it says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins." And talking about Jesus Christ when he is coming, and talking about the righteousness would be the girdle. So therefore, when you think about that, that is the expression of that outer garment there. And faithfulness shall be the girdle of his reins, as it continues there in Isaiah. But this is essentially, it means that this girdle has a controlling and binding influence over the rest of the bodily attire. And the qualities have that influence over all the purposes and actions within this. So when you think of that, okay, so we're picturing in our minds, I hope you are, this outer garment that Jeremiah was told to go and get and put on and wear, and he did so. And that outer garment made of fine linen was one that, again, it was expressive. It was a lovely thing. Again, fine linen was something that was not easily come by. And so here's Jeremiah, and he's wearing this girdle, and people are seeing him, and it's more than likely something that was pretty spectacular for his day and time. And so God comes to him, the Bible says, a second time, and says, "All right, Jeremiah, I want you to go down by the river Euphrates, and I want you to find a rock, and I want you to take the girdle off, and I want you to hide it under the rock. And I want you to remember also," he said, "don't put any water to it." That is to say, don't wash it. Amen? Now, you and I know what happens when we don't wash our clothes. Eventually, they begin to stink, right? Now, imagine if you didn't just not wash the clothes, but then when you went home to store it, rather than putting it in the dirty clothes basket and washing it, you went out back and found a rock and put your clothes under that. And the next time to wear it, you went outside and got the clothes and pulled it out from under that rock after it's probably rained, after, who knows what it's done, and you decide to put those clothes back on, right? Probably not a good idea. Probably going to be pretty dirty. As a matter of fact, what Jeremiah said was, as he went back to that, he says, I went to the verse number 7, he said, "Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. So God is using some symbolism here in this girdle. And he begins to explain exactly why he told Jeremiah to do this. And we must not forget, whenever God gives instructions, whenever God tells someone in his word to do something, there is always a purpose. There is always a purpose to what God is saying. And this is what he's wanting Jeremiah to see. I want you to remind you that Jeremiah is and has been preaching to Israel and to Judah, the divided kingdom. God is sending him from place to place to preach messages that God has given to him, basically saying, repent, come back, do right, get your heart right with God. And Jeremiah has been doing this, and it's been pretty heavy for him, really. But yet, so God is using this to illustrate what is taking place. Look at verse number 8. He says, after he got it, it was profitable for nothing. In verse number 7, he said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. So God is saying that Israel at one time, Judah at one time, was and is like this girdle. It was one that for an outward appearance, we know that from many scriptures before Jeremiah, that Israel was God's chosen people. They were the apple of his eye, so to speak. It speaks about in the book of Psalms. And they were his chosen people, and they were his pride and his joy of joys. And they were the ones that he favored, and they were the ones that had his eye and had his ear, and because they served him alone. But he uses this illustration and this symbolism in the life of Jeremiah to show him. He's saying, Jeremiah, just as that girdle that you took off that was beautiful and that was lovely, that was that brought your whole countenance and your whole outer appearance together, he's saying that was Israel. He said, but now that Israel has been placed under a rock, they have been marred, so to speak. And he says the reason they have been marred, look again in verse number 10. He says this, or verse number 9, he says, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people which refuse to hear my words. Again, he's laying out this idea of what their crimes are. He says they refuse to hear my words and walk in the imagination of their heart. And basically, they did what they wanted to do, and they walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Look at verse number 11. He says, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. You see, the purpose of the girdle was not to be placed under a rock. The purpose of the girdle was, again, to be that outer garment and that special garment that bound everything else together and controlled and had all of this bodily attire and having those qualities and a purpose within those actions. And God is saying that Israel and Judah no longer serve that purpose. As a matter of fact, he said again in verse number 11, he said they're going to be good for nothing. So we see, number one, the symbolism of the girdle. As we drop down and we can pick up it again at verse number 10, he says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I cause to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they will not hear. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even as the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and their sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. I want you not to just notice the symbolism of the girdle, but I want you to notice the symptoms of the people. The symptoms of the people. As we see back in verse number 10, God is laying out this charge against them. He says they refuse to hear my words. They walk in the imagination of their own heart. They walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them. Even as this girl, it's good for nothing. He says it's the purpose of the girdle was to cleave to the loins of a man. So have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah. And look what he says here in verse number 11. He says, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. God says they served a purpose. And he's laying out these symptoms that are in this, and he's going in and he's saying, here's what's going to take place. He says, I'm going to fill every bottle with wine. So he's giving some more symbols here, and he's saying within this, as he says, he's going to fill the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. Basically, what he is saying is he's going to place within them a spirit of no self-control. They're not going to be able to control. They're not going to be able to know exactly what is taking place here. As he says, and I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together. And you notice he says again in this symptom, he says, I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. And in that God destroying them, he's using themselves to destroy themselves. The symptoms of the people. In verse number 15, he says, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes, and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? So here from verse 15 down through verse 21, we see Jeremiah giving the message to the people. And I want you to notice the sympathy of the prophet. So we see first off the symbolism of the girdle. We see the symptoms of the people. And number three, we see the sympathy of the prophet. He starts off by saying, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. for the Lord hath spoken. He's saying, give glory to the Lord your God before He calls darkness. What Jeremiah is starting off by saying is God is sending judgment. God, it's coming. It's coming. God is sending it. It's coming. But it's not dark yet. He's saying there's still time. There's still time to get it right. There's still time to make sure you're okay. There's still time. He says, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. He said, while ye look for light, He turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. He's saying, you're going to look for light, but you won't find any. But, in verse 17, if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Jeremiah is saying, you have my sympathy here. He's saying, this is going to happen. You're going to be carried away. He's saying even to the king and the queen, he says, humble yourselves. Understand, you're not going to be spared. He says, it's going to start from the top and go all the way down to the lowest of the low. Judgment is coming. Everyone's going to be carried away captive. There's not going to be one person left. The sympathy of the prophet. Verse 21, what wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not the sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? See, Israel was used to doing what they wanted to do. And we kind of get that way sometimes, don't we? We get to that place where we just kind of get used to doing what we want to do and without considering what God wants us to do. And what do we do when that judgment comes? What will we say when we're faced with our sin? We see not just the symbolism of the girdle, the symptoms of the people, the sympathy of the prophet. I want you to see number four, the synopsis from the Lord. God's getting ready to summarize this whole thing here in verse number 22 through verse 27. He says, and if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore, will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore, will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy nains, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? God is giving this synopsis here at the end of this chapter, letting them know this is going to happen. This is coming. Again, in verse number 24, therefore I will scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. These graphic pictures that God is giving within this chapter are really somewhat overwhelming. You know, it amazes me that as Jeremiah 1, this isn't the first message he's preached. This isn't the first message of judgment that Jeremiah has talked about. And Jeremiah is so graphic in what God is telling him, and he's telling the people, this is going to happen. And the people say, no, it won't happen to me. I'm good. And yes, we serve a long-suffering God. And God is giving chance after chance after chance to Israel and to Judah. they're not hearing. And they refuse to hear. And God sums this up in the very last verse as he says, "Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be?" He's saying there's still a chance. There's still a chance. You know, as we stand before God in this day and age, in the church age, we're not necessarily going to be carried off into judgment as captives, as Israel was. No, our captivity is really in another way. We're usually held captive to our sin. We're held captive to our bitterness. We're held captive to our unforgiveness. We're held captive to that. And if we're not careful, we'll be in bondage to that. We're held captive by the sin of our flesh, the pride of life. All things that God says, take care of. Take care of. He says in Hebrews, lest any root of bitterness springing up in your soul. It affects others around. Oh, that's what we're held captive to today. A little different in this day, but I would still say, woe unto thee, O individual. We're not a city unto ourselves, but lest we forget, we are the temple of the Lord, where the Holy Spirit dwells. And our actions and our desires are weighed in a balance. Where are we at? Are we just going to hold on to these things, or are we going to give them up? Are we going to just do this, or are we going to listen to what the Word of God says? You see, what I want you to picture in your mind tonight is, you're the girdle. Or either one that is a precious in the sight of God, or we're marred by the flesh under a rock, profitable for nothing. Where are we at? Where are you at in your life? Where am I at in my life? The symbolism of the girdle is still applicable today. We're either marred by sin or we're a jewel in the sight of God. Where are you at? We'll have every head bowed, every eye closed. The symbolism of the girdle. What are your symptoms? What is God doing in your life? Is he trying to get your attention tonight? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you just closing your ears and going through the motions? Where are you at? Let God have his way. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And God, I would ask that you would just allow me to yield myself to thee. God, that I would be a clean girdle, not marred by the pride of my flesh, the pride of my life. And God, that you would have your way, that when folks see us, may they know that the joy of the Lord rest upon our life. That we wouldn't affect people by the bitterness in our soul and in our life, but Father, may we affect them by the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be a clean girdle for your honor and your glory. Have your way during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you stand